Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Always wanted to hear the real deal when it comes to fitness, health, nutrition, and physical well-being? This is Dave's Power Half Hour, hosted by Tasha McKeon. What's cracking? What's really good? They don't pull any punches. You'll only get the truth about how you get healthier, mentally, physically, and emotionally. And now, here's Tasha McKeon and Big Dave.
We're back, baby. Big Dave's Power Half Hour, hosted by your girl, Tasha McKeon. We are here. Real quick, let's get to business. We're super excited because we're changing up locations. March 7th, we are taking Super Circus Saturday to Aurora,
Colorado. A-Town is in the house.
And where exactly are we going to be at, D?
Mississippi and 225 in that region. So
Chambers in Mississippi.
Chambers in Mississippi.
Yeah. Take and one. Make sure you check in at 945. We're going to have some awesome vendors out there. You want to throw that down real quick, D?
We got
who?
Mad Dog.
It's not Mad Dog.
Boy, Jesse, Junkyard is going to be there. Junkyard Training with Cryo Chamber.
Nice. That's been
cupping,
going amazing.
Massage. So look to them for
cupping?
That. Cupping. They do badass.
Can
cupping.
I do cupping?
You can do cupping.
With this? Yeah.
You're good.
Okay, I'm going to do cupping.
You have a bunch of
okay.
like leopard spots.
I don't mind it.
You look hot with that.
I think I will.
With your skin, the Puerto Rican, Dominican.
See through? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Transparent.
Pretty much. Okay. Thanks, Dave.
God.
Damn it.
She got me off topic here. She always does that shit. That's what she does. So we got Jimmy John's. My boy Chris is going to have
I love Jimmy John's.
Sandwiches out there for everyone to mow on before and after.
Yep.
We got Revive MD. Testosterone HRT Clinic. Shout out to Todd and Susie and the group over there.
Yeah.
They're going to be there doing out free B12 shots.
On site.
That was a really good hit.
It was a really great hit.
Really
I forgot to get mine. I was so excited with everything that was going on. So
we're,
make
we're
sure you meet us out there. March 7th is going to be awesome. Make sure you come on out for Crunch Fitness on Chambers in Mississippi. Check-in time is 9:45. All right, so let's get to it. We're really, really excited. We have a special guest in the building today. And when it comes to fitness, fitness is not just always about the physical. It can be a lot deeper. And sometimes it all starts in the mental, and that's what actually brings you to this beautiful place called the gym where you kick your own ass to get through some of your own things. So today we have special guests in the building, a friend of the show, a friend outside the show too. Her name is Chelsea, personal trainer, management, and all that. Welcome, Chelsea.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so blessed to be here.
So I'm excited because childhood traumas can truly affect so many different people in so many different ways. So today she's here to talk about that, talk about substance abuse, how she got through her journey, and if she can do it, you can do it too. Now, I was talking to my boss, and he didn't tell me anything about the story, and so I decided to reach out to Chelsea over the weekend just to get a little bit of tidbits, and I said, oh my gosh, this is a story we have to share on the podcast, and we're so excited to have you here today. So with your struggles, where did it start for you? How did it start for you?
So long story. Mm-hmm. Way back. So I think my struggles started with insecurities, self-worth, you know, mm-hmm. everything that everybody touches on at some point in time in their life. Started way back in my youth. I remember earliest, you know, 8-9 years old, feeling very fat, very unworthy, very just unliked. And I was an obese kid, but it just dug to another level that started creating some really deep insecurities. And I remember always trying to search for the quick fix, whatever diet, you know, whatever exercise, something. And I was too young to even understand what any of this meant,
right.
Much less, you know, apply it.
At 8 or 9 years old.
Yes.
What made
yes.
you think like that at that age?
You know, what I go back to thinking, a lot of it had to do with my dad, which we've grown from then, you know, just, and then media, kind of, you know, placing what you think you should be and all those expectations that you think you should look like, which is, it's crazy, it's silly, and that's, you know, social media and stuff
real.
Too. Yeah, you have to really pay attention to what it is that's real and what's not real and what expectations are for who you are. So, yeah, I remember, you know, dabbling in, like, drinking SlimFast at, like, 8 years old. And then, you know, just trying to always fix something that didn't really need to be fixed. You're supposed to be playing sports and stuff at 8.
Getting dirty.
Right.
Playing outside.
Yeah. And then I remember, you know, being teased. You know, you go back to bullying and stuff that's really prevalent right now. I know that we've had a lot of, like, suicide stuff going on in elementary schools and middle schools. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal that is underplayed and not recognized to be dealt with enough. But mine was kind of a slower progression, and it was dealt with by myself. But so it progressed into, I think I started using, so I started smoking pot and drinking probably at about 10, and then it progressed pretty fast. The first time that I used, and this, I went looking for something to fix what I thought was such an issue with myself. I started using hard stuff at 11, and I went searching for something that I'd heard about on TV from one of my favorite actresses, and it was, you know, amphetamines and stimulants, and I remember all I heard was that this stuff was going to help me lose weight this fast, and I didn't stick around to hear that it ruined her life and she went to jail, and I remember watching this episode.
I
heard what I wanted. I went to the phone and I found what I wanted, and very, very quickly it progressed into me becoming addicted to losing weight versus, you know, the actual substance and the drug. And then so at this point, you know, fast forward a couple years, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, you know, using just barely skating by in school and whatnot, but I got sick of seeing my quote-unquote friends, you know, go to jail or disappear, die, or one of the two, so I decided to quit using the hard stuff. And so I just quit, and I remember I used to boast about just quitting, not having to go to rehab, not having to do any of that stuff. I just white-knuckled it.
Did
it on my own. And then I went on to live what a semi-normal life would have been. You know, I graduated from high school, I went to college, I got into the medical world, I was a scrub nurse for 6 years, but I remember through that time, this 9 years of not using what I now know is a dry addict, because I definitely recognize myself as somebody who lives in recovery and working on a program for myself that keeps me healthy, mind, body, and soul. But during those times, the 9 years that I wasn't using, I remember still, I went back to my old thoughts and behaviors of diets and exercises and quick fixes of, you know, always trying to find relief outside of myself and never really realizing that the onions, the layer of the onion is the deeper part. The core is what needed to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it was going to be this rat race of trying to always band-aid a superficial something that was really, you know, it was much more.
Mm-hmm.
And every human being, we have the same emotions. We have the same feelings.
Mm-hmm.
They may be brought up in a different light because of different, you know, issues, but at the end of the day, everybody has sadness. Everybody has insecurities. Everybody has fear. And we all deal with it in a certain way, or don't deal with it in a certain way.
Which is not good.
Because
it comes back somehow, some way.
Absolutely, in some fashion. You know, some kind of coping skill. And
I think there's more to that than, I think more people don't deal with it. And then
they try to numb it.
Yes.
But then you're numbing it somehow.
And then it comes back.
Yeah.
Yep. 10 times worse.
Yeah.
A year, 2 years, three years down the road when you're in a relationship or you have children or something like that. And then now you have that on top of the addiction that you never took care of.
Absolutely.
So
that's a lot of layers.
It's a shit show.
And we all have this pride thing where we think that, you know, or we isolate ourselves where we think that I'm the only one that's dealing with this. I'm the only one that has fear around this. I'm the only one that's struggling with this. And that's so not true.
No, it's not.
You know, everybody is struggling with stuff. And the more that we talk about it, the more that you bring it to a head so it can be dealt with, you find the solutions. You be more a part of the solution orient than the problem.
And you realize you're not alone.
Yes.
I think that's where social media actually is beneficial.
It has its ups and downs.
Yeah,
for sure.
But I think that
I agree.
Can be beneficial in the standpoint of I'm not alone.
Yes.
You know, now granted, some people utilize it as a crutch and look at me, and attention getter.
Right,
blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
But the people that are actually on there, like yourself, that have pulled yourself out and mm-hmm. done an amazing job with it. And, you know, I know Chelsea on a personal level, you know, when she very first started with us, and we've known each other for over a year now. Yeah. And I mean, you have come amazingly so far. And I've been one of your biggest fans, as you well know, and I always will be. But the biggest thing is, and is that I think that that's where I think the Twitter and the Facebook and the apps that you can see now, that's what it should be used for.
For the good.
Positive.
Yeah, for the sharing.
But then you have these asses that basically come on and start talking garbage.
Yeah.
And don't rear their head because they have a platform that they don't have to be held accountable for what they say.
Right.
And that's where it becomes such a
negative aspect.
They make
everything look glittery and shiny instead of...
People are so quick to jump on someone and call them out.
Oh, yeah.
But yet they're behind a keyboard or they're behind... A facade that you know they don't have to be accountable for their actions or what they say, and a lot of them that do that have never been in the situation that you have been in, or other people that have dealt with the same type of situation that you have to the level that you have. It's one thing to say, "Oh, I have a problem and I'm addicted to this," and okay, that's cool, you can cope with it and get over it. But we're talking a whole nother level.
Yeah,
here.
When you're transparent like you, that's a whole different story.
It's such an amazing accomplishment. I can't really tell you enough how proud I personally am of you and these guys are of you. That's why we brought you on, because, again, there's so many different levels. And you hit that level that a lot of people do hit, but they don't want to succumb to it and admit it and call themselves out
over
it.
And this is the big thing in recovery, is you have to hit the point of surrender. You'll hear that word in recovery. You have to surrender. Because once you surrender, you literally open the floodgates for accepting what is to come.
She makes me surrender all the time.
I've seen it.
I'm dealing with M number two.
I've seen it.
Like, I gotta surrender to her. I gotta surrender to her. First, I'll be surrender to you. It's like, then I got Victor the Peloton boy in the office over there.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
Yeah.
It's acceptance. You know, it's acceptance. And you know, like my first go around when I had you know, the 9 years, I hid it. I hid my old past. I hid my addiction. That I'd gone through, because I still wasn't relating. And I was ashamed of it. But I think it's because now that I'm in recovery, I feel like it's because I had reservations. Mm. And I had reservations about what I wanted to come, and I didn't want to fully accept and surrender that I had this problem. There were deeper levels to it that I didn't want
to look
at.
All back.
Yep.
You know,
I wasn't
let me
ready
ask you
yet.
This. At 11 years old, I mean, my son, London, is 11 years old. And when you're telling your story, I'm thinking about London and his mentality and his innocence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and then you say 9, and I'm thinking of my son, Dylan. Dylan is still playing with trucks, and you know, he's into his camouflage. Like, there's still their innocence. Like, how did you, at 11, how did you hide that?
You know, there was a lot going on.
How did you know to hide it? You know what I mean? Like,
it's not common for 11-year-old
because kids can't lie
I don't agree with that.
I still can't lie. I'm a grown-ass mom, okay?
Yeah.
But how did you do that?
Like, most kids are not going to go grab a Slim Fast out of the fridge and drink that as a drink of choice.
My dad bought Slim Fast for me.
Oh, this is good. I'm going to drink the shake.
Yeah.
But for you,
my dad was the one that bought the Slim Fast for me. Like, I remember struggling and telling him, like, Dad, I don't feel worthy. I feel fat. And he would, this is another thing with parents and like who we idolize. You know, my dad would shame heavy people in front of me. And I was, you know, and I would be identifying with these people in front of me. And then I would tell him, and then he would turn around and get me Slim Fast. It was just this wicked battle.
Right.
He was feeding the machine.
Both. Yes.
So even though he's not speaking of you, he's speaking of you when he's speaking of these people.
Right. Inadvertently. Yeah. He had
a heavier set person.
Yes.
But look at my daughter over here. She's kind of heavy too. So this is what we'll do for you to try and make amends.
It was a whole connection.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. And then, like, I lived in two separate households, and, my mom, who had primary custody, she had a lot going on, and she was working, you know, full-time, a couple jobs, and I was kind of taking care of my younger sister, so I was much more in an adult
than a child.
Yes.
So it was easier for you to hide.
Much easier.
You had to mature
Take
care of her.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of a broken situation on both sides.
Right.
It wasn't hard at all. Right. I rarely saw my dad growing up early on. It was like one time a week when I was younger.
Right.
And so it was kind of easy, but at the same time, like we talked about, you know, I didn't feel like I was that typical, what the stereotype is of an addict that uses that, you know, gets the look and gets the sick, you know, look. And I lost weight and I felt good. And, you know, there were certain signs that I'm sure that my parents, they, after talking with them, they kind of would, you know, turn a blank eye just because they didn't know what to do.
Right.
And they didn't also, they had that same thing, like, it's 11, 12 years old. Like, that can't be the thing. That can't be what's going on.
That's not even what's happening here, yeah.
Right. Kind of just swiping under the rug.
Right.
So, but yeah, so fast forward to, you know, not dealing with the issues, band-aiding the problem, so on and so forth. And I kept trying to seek outside of myself to fix all these underlying issues of self-worth. It all goes back to self-worth. Mm-hmm. And so fast forward, and I got, you know, I was living the quote-unquote American dream, got married. We got pregnant on the honeymoon, we had a house, cars, great jobs, the whole shebang, right? Still wasn't happy with myself.
Inside,
Just wasn't. I smoked, I drank a lot,
you're
I was still...
yourself to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, all the time, all the time. I
That's
never...
another thing, too.
Yep, comparing, yeah, and always idolizing things that you have no idea what somebody's going through. Right. Like, you have no idea what it is.
You see the surface level.
Right.
But you don't see the internals, and I think that's one thing that we really try and do with this particular show that we do is kind of, like you said, and I think you really hit the nail on the head with the whole onion analogy.
Right.
It's a perfect analogy. You know, we try and help people pull that layers back and get to the root of the issue.
Yes.
Of
so you can live.
Being critical of themselves and stuff like that.
Yes.
So it's like, you bring up a very, very valid point.
So, yeah, so, I got pregnant, and this is where it all kind of started to rear its ugly head again. At my heaviest, after I had my wonderful daughter, Kyla, I was at 253 pounds was my heaviest. And I'm 5'1", guys, so I showed every bit of it. Felt every bit of it. Oh, I was more
curvy,
than curvy.
Stay shut!
I was more than curvy.
Curves coming for days.
More
than
curvy.
Ass.
You make me sick.
So you know those muumuus? You know those muumuus that you can buy from 7-Eleven? That like,
what is a
muumuu? Like one of those
some
like...
Of the Hawaiian people wear.
Yes.
Okay.
I have one of them.
It's like a paper towel.
Yes.
First of all, they're cute. I have like four. And I wear them with heels and cute jeans, brother.
So I can only fit into one.
Got some bitches on a boo-boo coming on.
That's all that I can wear.
Here she comes with a boo-boo on.
That's all I could wear was
shout out to a boo-boo wearer.
Right, because it's comfortable, it's covering you up, and it's not
form-fitting.
But I hate it.
You have to be so critical. People are going to be like, oh, my Lord.
Well, I didn't have money to go get a new, like, wardrobe either.
Right.
So it just manifested into this, you know, more. And it just brought back up that internal onion. Yeah. So, long story short, go back in my first day back from maternity leave. And series of events, I lost my job of 6 years. I actually relapsed on the hard stuff that day.
Wow.
And it was a combination of just not feeling worthy. Kind of my one thing that was my identity still that I had was gone. And then I'm sitting here, you know, 150 pounds heavier. And I just was feeling just icky. And I went to the one thing that I knew was gonna, I thought, offer me relief.
Right.
And off and on, you know, I hit it when I got a new job, and then I was losing the weight, and it sucked because everybody around me was like, oh, what are you doing? You look great. I'm like,
the compliments.
Yeah, and it was just fueling
the confidence,
that. And it's so unhealthy to a fact that it's fueling this this baloney, you know, baloney Band-Aid. So... long story short, that all fell apart, and I lost everything. I ended up getting a divorce. I, you know, lost my next job that I got at the hospital.
I'm going to stop there for a second, because I want to interrupt, which I'm really good at doing. But
Oh, we know.
We know that.
Oh, we know.
Have mercy.
I will turn the mics off.
Whatever.
We love you.
You know what, everybody out there? It says Big Dave's Power Half Hour, okay, everyone?
Hosted
in
by.
This?
Oh,
you know
yes,
what?
Sir.
Don't make me go get Victor.
Tasha McKeon.
Right
go get him.
Victor in here. But no, real talk. I want to stop you for a second because I want to touch on what you just said. I got divorced. Yeah. Not to bring up a sticky subject.
Nope.
But
it's real.
A lot of people can relate to this.
Right.
How long do you feel, or what are the steps do you feel that the other spouse is supposed to do?
And
because you know, I am
a
very
like
caring individual when it comes to my relationships, and I am the first one to give my family, as you all guys
all
know,
all of
you
guys
are my family, the shirt off my back, and you know, you call yourself out to these people, and you become transparent. Tasha is like a sister to me. You are very close to me. Victor is like a damn big brother to me. How long and how much is a spouse supposed to take
that's
on
a lot.
Before
a
they're like,
question.
You know,
yep.
like I've been here with you through this, and then now you relapsed again, And it's like, what about my life?
Yep. What about my mental?
You know,
that's
and I'm
exactly
not
what happened.
By
no, no,
any means,
no, absolutely.
But I want to play that devil's advocate.
No, no,
you know,
it's
we
true.
Got
no,
people out
happened.
There that are listening, probably going yeah. like, you know what?
My
what,
wife
what about
and my
me?
Husband
right.
going through
what
that.
What about
yep.
me? And it's like, you know, yep. we have such a precious yep. short amount of time here yep. that we all keep realizing because it's thrown in our face yes. on a daily basis.
Dude.
And I mean, you know. It's one of those things that yes. I think that really you can probably attest
yeah.
to it more
she's
so than anybody.
Yeah, she's the best person to
right?
answer
because
it.
It's like, mm. how yes. much does your husband, boyfriend, yep. fiance have to go yep. through that
right.
to finally say, you
yep.
know what? What about my yep. life here?
Yeah.
So if I had to answer like that, it's when they're done because I and now my
and everybody's line's
yeah,
different.
Yeah,
and everybody's
right.
line's
yep.
different.
Yeah,
yep.
that's true.
My ex-husband and I, we're friends now. We were
that's
friends
so
before.
Good. That's
huge,
so good.
Huge thing, especially
and,
with the kids.
Yeah, and we so long story short, back in the day, we used together. We both went on our own paths. We both got clean in different ways, and then we just by chance revisit. That's how we ended up together, but. That was kind of the conversation was when he found out what was going on. He told me, he's like, I cannot be with somebody using. You know
wow,
what?
That's, wow.
I can't.
But
yeah.
he was a previous user.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yes. he cleaned
like,
himself
yes.
up.
Right. Yes.
He was like, I'm done with this.
It's like, you know what? Yes. Look, like, I yes. was bad with you.
Yes.
Which, and I don't want to be there
right,
anymore.
And I'm done.
And that's
so
why.
I got to get your shit
yep.
together because I'm not yep. going to keep doing this. Yep.
God bless.
And
yes.
it just, it was, we both handled it in, and we've come to amends. We've had conversations
yeah.
where we both kind of owned our part because both of us sucked at dealing with what happened.
Yeah.
If we could go back and do it again. But that's where living in the moment and like kind of just finding gratitude in situations that happen. I look back and we weren't supposed to be together. Like we were on different paths and it just, unfortunately.
Timing.
Yeah. It happened this way,
it does.
But
it crossed that path. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like fate.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, some people yep. don't believe in fate. Some people don't believe in like.
I do.
Yeah.
I'm a romantical person.
Yeah, and like people say, well, if you put it out there, then it'll come true, and you keep thinking about it. It's like a dream. But no, real talk. It's like it's funny because you know we laugh and we joke around and stuff like that, and try and make light of such a serious topic because
mm-hmm.
you kind of
have to.
In a
oh,
way.
You have to.
Because you know, with this day and age, like we said before, mm-hmm. it is such a time sensitive time right now. Everybody's on edge. You know, whether they're going through addiction or they're going through financial loss or relationship loss or medical problems.
Yeah,
everybody
that,
has
know,
something.
Everybody has something.
Yep.
And, you know, so I guess my question to you then is, becoming friends with him,
mm-hmm.
how long did it take for him to accept mm-hmm. you back
mm-hmm.
into his life? And
mm-hmm.
how, I know how I am, and I know that if I was in a relationship and, mm-hmm. and agree or disagree with this, Tosh, that you had so much love for someone and watching them disintegrate in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta finally say,
yep.
okay, enough is enough. I gotta
yep.
look at my life.
Yep. Right.
But then that person comes back and they're better than ever.
Right.
And let's say they're in another relationship
mm-hmm.
or there may not be in another relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had this discussion,
yep.
You know, but personally. How hard is it to not want to rekindle that with that person
mm-hmm.
because you guys had so much in common
yeah.
and, you know, granted, that wasn't the platform
yeah.
and foundation of the relationship, but it ended up
mm-hmm.
becoming somewhat of a platform
yeah.
for both of you. But I guess my question to you is how hard is it to try and not get back with that person
mm-hmm.
because you have so much in common.
You have a kid
you know,
together.
Right, you have a kid together.
History.
You're married.
Simple.
You know each other. Now, granted, people change,
yeah.
but...
Honestly, it's simple for me, and I don't think it's like this for every situation. But like I said before, I feel like a lot of the series of events that led to the using and the couple of years of chaos led also into me not being true to myself. So like I said, we weren't meant to be together. We're friends. We're meant to be friends for sure. It got so bad that like I literally lost everything and I was gone for so long out of my ex-husband's life,
right.
out of
You're
my
out of
daughter's
touch.
Life. Yeah, I went
You're
to
off the
yeah.
grid.
I was gone like whether it was in my addiction or gone from the repercussions of my addiction, if you
right.
know what I mean, at a
right.
little stay.
Just doing your own thing.
Yeah. And so by the time that I literally reached what they call the bottom, I had to reinvent myself. And I really spent the time that... I ended up at the Haven Pier 1 program. I'm totally going to play them today because they...
Oh,
it saved
it.
My life. It's
talk
one of the...
It. So where are they and what do they do?
So it is... it's a halfway house / recovery house. It's the hardest one in the country, but it's a behavior mod program.
Mm-hmm.
It's out at the old Fort Logan base, but it is... they're really trying to push for recovery versus incarceration. They're trying to do rehabilitation versus like just putting them away and then letting back out. If you're not doing something to kind
of... It's a waste of time.
Yes, and money.
And that's been proven, you know.
So... if you use it, it absolutely works. But during this time, to get back and answer your question, I was there from late 2017 till I just graduated last December.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a hard program, man. During this time, I really used the time to break myself down and pick apart my brain, my soul, my heart about what it is that why. Like, why did this all happen? And the issues that, you know, we talked about that, people that brings up those emotions that cause the feelings that we band-aid. And with that, one of the things that I found out was that my husband and I had nothing in common. Like, everything that I value and that I wanted, we did not...
You mean after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
after.
We, yeah. I didn't know who I was. And right. I kept trying to be everything to everybody else.
You grew apart. You disconnected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. That's where,
but when you clear the
out.
Air, you realize, yeah. yo, we yeah. really yeah, didn't have much.
Not, yeah.
We have
right.
a great friendship.
We had,
right.
We had
right.
right. together.
Right.
And
right.
that was brilliant.
And I know I
right.
could rely on you
right.
for that.
Right. Exactly.
Well, and we drank together. That was the thing, too.
So
like, even though I had...
were kind of the key.
And this is why I'm such a big promoter of recovery. And I'm not saying this is for everybody, but for me, I knew that I had to take away all mind-body altering substances. I used to smoke like a chimney. I used to drink like a fish after I even used, because I was still band-aiding stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, it's rare that I take an ibuprofen, but what my fuel, what my drug is leading into it, fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got in and I was locked down for a little bit, I really was like, all right, Chelsea, you're gonna do this the right way. And I started studying health and fitness.
So with you, let me go back just
yep.
a minute. With you reinventing yourself, what triggered you to do that? Like, where did the idea come from? Did someone say, hey, you know what? This
yeah.
is what the best thing to do. Find the good
yeah,
parts
maybe
of
there
yourself.
Was someone that was like, hey, girl, you should
I mean?
Come to the gym
yeah.
with me. Or, hey, girl, maybe
yeah.
you should look into working
like,
out.
So, yeah.
To get, like, right down to the nitty-gritty. So, no, I was actually in jail, and I knew I was going to be in there for a little bit. And I was like, well, what are you going to do to utilize your time?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what? The one thing that you've never done, Chelsea, you've never put in the work and done it the right way.
Mm.
It's a long process. I always wanted a quick fix. So I started literally any time I could, I would beg the guards for like men's health or women's health magazines. I
yeah.
would, anytime the book cart came around, I'd study anything that had to do with health and fitness. I was trading everybody my cookies for their vegetables and like doing like anything I could.
Yes.
Don't listen to that. You know what? I'm going to intervene here. Don't listen to that. Eat your cookies.
Don't eat the cookies.
And you can still have vegetables too, but eat your cookies.
No,
green stuff is gross. No,
so
I'm only playing. I'm only playing.
Just,
eat your vegetables.
Yes,
that's
yes. And but you're allowed to splurge. Absolutely. You don't have
you
to be eccentric.
Eat your Big Macs, everyone. You
so
know this.
For you, being in jail,
yeah.
now you're in jail.
Yep.
Now you're switching out things just to feed yourself.
Yeah.
Like, how important was being consistent for you?
It was very important. And I actually, what's funny is that, and ironic is that, what got me through then is what continues to get me through out here too, is it's the routine and the habit that I built from it, and I look forward to it. I look forward to the structure. I look forward to knowing that this is something I have control over. Like, I have control over how I treat myself, and I enjoy treating myself well. It used to be a punishing aspect of, like, when you smoke and you drink, you feel like crap and you don't eat
yeah.
well, and you don't exercise, you don't take care of yourself. Like, it fuels the unworthiness, that deep layer of the onion.
I think that
you know?
That's one thing that a lot of people do not understand with starting a fitness journey.
Yeah.
Let me clarify this
yep.
for people. When you start the fitness journey, no one's forcing you to do it.
Right.
No one's forcing you to go to the
right.
gym.
It's a decision.
No one's forcing you to eat six times a day.
Right.
No one's forcing you to eat clean.
Right.
It's a lifestyle choice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And whether you admire someone or you start getting into it because of a situation like you were into, it should always be a positive thing
yeah.
because
yeah.
no one's forcing you
yep.
to do it.
No,
you
yeah,
should
choice.
look at the aspect mm-hmm. and say, what am I getting out of this? Not
right.
what Tasha's getting out of
mm-hmm.
it, or what is
yes.
Chelsea getting out of it,
yes.
or what is Big D getting out of it. It's what you're personally getting out of it.
Yes.
And I think that's one problem that we're having as well, with so many people getting started and then falling off the bandwagon, especially with the new year
yes.
and all that kind of stuff, is that well, I don't see the gains, and I'm not going to look like her, or I'm not going to look like him, and I can't do that
outside
because
of yourself.
I can't afford it.
You're still
so
looking outside
you know,
of yourself.
The hell with it, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
And I think
but you,
you
beat yourself
up,
down
right,
before you
right.
can even get
it's
there.
Almost,
yes.
It's almost like you're already putting yourself in a negative, you know, connotative way before you even start.
Yes.
And that's why I wanted to intervene, because I think you're a perfect example of, you know, I have nothing better to do with my time. So I'm going to utilize it in the best way possible for Chelsea.
Yep.
May not work for your cellmate. May not work for the CEO. Because let's be real. How many CEOs do you see there are
right.
that
All right. No.
All right. Let's be let's be real here.
They ain't running after nobody.
No, no, there ain't nobody off limits here.
They might lay on you.
You know, don't pick me up in the white Benz, okay? Just leave the white Benz alone, boys. You know, but no, in all seriousness, it's like, you know, you look at people out there, and it goes right back to what you were talking about before, being so judgmental.
Yep.
I am the first one to call myself out. Everyone that knows me, I call myself out.
Right.
I am very critical of certain people, and I have no right to be. And I think when you start calling yourself out, you be honest with yourself.
That's the best.
You're no better, you're
the
no better
thing
than the other
ever.
Person.
Nope.
And that's one thing that I can attest my fiance is helping me with, because that's been something I think, because I was small when I started. I was small as hell. And, you know, people look at me now and they're like, there's no way. Mm-hmm. But there is a way.
Yep.
And it's just like you. You are 240 pounds. No,
250
pounds. At pregnant weight, and
one.
I'm sitting right next to Chelsea. Chelsea's the size of my arm. Okay, so that being said, it's just like you finally said, you know what?
That's it.
Enough.
And, you make the lifestyle change choice.
So it just goes to show you, everybody out there, and everyone that emails us and talks to us and asks questions. Yep. It has to start with you.
Internal.
Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't worry about what the Instagram and the social media and celebrities that you may follow. Focus on you.
Yep. Yeah.
Baby steps. Yep. Just like we always say.
Yeah.
Moderation.
Yep.
You started slow.
Yep.
You started to learn. And let me tell you what, guys out there. I've watched this girl start from pushing a mop.
Yep.
Okay,
yeah.
In the gym.
Janitor.
For a free membership.
Every morning coming in, cleaning our gym. And there's certain people in the gym that took her under the wing and really helped her. But to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to blow smoke up your behind, you already knew what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
So when you and I started talking,
I
already knew this girl was ready to roll.
Yeah.
And the first thing I said to her is, we need to get you training. And she looked at me and goes, I want to train.
So bad.
Oh, Dave, I just want to train.
I want to help people so bad.
I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you do it as long as I've done it, you know, it's just like with you on the radio, Tosh, you know when you see someone or hear someone, you're like, okay, that person has a voice for this.
Mm-hmm.
You have that ear.
They have that.
It's just like when I see someone in the gym training or, you know,
they have
your
that fire.
Work ethic, whether it's in the gym or whether it's pushing a mop, as stupid as it may sound right now.
I treated it like my church.
You got to start somewhere.
Yep.
And you did. And you did an amazing job. And I cannot tell you and everybody out there, it is possible.
Absolutely.
You just have to basically be closed-minded and just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes along with the training, the food, the diet, everything.
You
and
make
it probably
that lifestyle
made
commitment.
You change everything around, and now that's what you do.
And now it's not even, so interesting, it's not even about the aesthetics anymore. Like, it's great. Like, I look better than I ever have, and I'm in my 30s. I've never thought that I'd look this good, but it has nothing to even do with that as much. It's more of how I feel and my lifestyle.
Hell yeah, you gotta feel it. Everything you went through when you were inspiring.
Okay.
So you're saying
I gotta move over because that booty started to push me out of the way. I'm rolling over to the side here. If you can't hear me, it's because Chelsea's booty's pushing me all the way. Can you still hear me on mic too?
Oh, I specialize in glute exercises.
Yeah. And I can attest that because I've seen her train her glutes and it's nonstop.
Yes. So, but yes, Tosh, I get more fulfillment out of the lifestyle that I've built for myself through this. Like, it all started in a different spot, but now what keeps me here is the lifestyle that I've built for myself where, you know, it's growing pains with any kind of change like this. Like, there has been growing pains because it was a little bit of a lonely road initially. You know, I got a lot of people laughing at me or saying I couldn't do it or this or whatever, X, Y, Z. But you know what? When you make that decision to make that lifestyle change because it's what you want, the world opens its doors, man, and it becomes such a beautiful
and
world.
And all those people that were naysayers are now asking you, how do you do it?
What do you do?
Can I come in? Now Chelsea's running Colorado Springs Crunch. She's out there doing bigger things. And that, I'm telling you, man.
And there, you know, for everybody that says, like, well, there's always an excuse. And I've had them. Whether it be, I don't have time. I don't have money. I don't have the resources. I don't know what I'm doing. Neither did I. But once you make that lifestyle change, mm-hmm. that no matter what, you are going to figure it out. You will figure it out. I promise you. So I didn't have money for a gym membership. So what did I do the first time I could work as I was in the, you know, the Haven Pier 1 program? I'm going to work in a gym. I didn't care how, what position I was going to get. I was going to work in a gym. So Crunch Fitness offered me a janitor position. Nailed it. Okay, foot in the door. I'm going to work at this gym. Now, I'm around trainers. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to watch people.
Yeah, wouldn't leave me alone.
Nope.
But do you know what I love about you right? is that you were so determined. You didn't care where at the mm-mm. bottom you started. You nope. just wanted to get a foot yep. in to get to where you wanted to go.
Absolutely.
Determined. You know what I mean? Yep. Yeah.
Determined and committed.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And that one word you used, you surrendered
yep.
everything.
Surrender. That's wow.
For the lifestyle change.
That gave me goosebumps.
You know, you have to have some humility because you have to ask for help. Like, not everybody. I don't care what you look like or if you're a trainer or for whatever you are. Not everybody started here. We didn't walk into the gym with a handbook knowing what to do.
Right.
I asked questions. I looked like a fool a lot of the times. I'd have a broomstick practicing my lifts. I'm an Olympic lifter now, but I knew I wanted to do it. And I'd practice with a broom and asking for help. I'm sure I looked silly, but I didn't care because I wanted it. So if you ask for help, you'll get it. If you look for help, you'll get it. You just have to be committed enough to change your life and make that lifestyle change, and you'll get it. And it happens a lot faster than you'd mm-hmm. think. And, you
it's
know,
important.
It's been such a beautiful ride, and I've had so much help. I love you guys. Dave, Tosh, Crunch, everybody. I wouldn't have been able to be where I'm at. And this life has changed, and it's turned into something so much more. I just wanted to be healthy and happy and get out of my life of addiction. And now, you know, it's perpetuated into a situation where I am a trainer. You're helping other people
yeah, heal.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
Yep.
They all have different whys.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yep.
let me ask you this. As a person that's gone through substance abuse, why do you think people are so embarrassed to talk about it?
Shame, fear of judgment, fear of not being able to progress in their life, whether it be social or whether it be through their job status or whatever the reason is. Fear, like everything results to fear.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, people will not progress living in fear and not being transparent.
So with that, are you, like, when you look at your life, like, wow, I'm so happy that I put my whole self out there. Like, I opened my entire book, every single layer. Mm-hmm. When you look at what you did and what you could have not done,
yeah.
like, how does that make you feel? Like, you could have been quiet
yeah.
about it.
So, and that's how I was the first time, is I was quiet about the first couple of years, you know, my first round. And it stayed and it grew and it
just kept
festered.
Boiling.
Yes.
Oh.
So this go around when I got into Crunch and I met everybody that I worked with, I'm an open book. Like, I don't care. Like,
that's
this
it.
Is who
this
I am.
Is me.
This is what I'm going through. This is what I need. This is what I want. This is how I'm getting there.
But didn't you feel so much more free?
Yes. Yes.
Instead of so
yes.
heavy and judged.
Yes.
You've been toting
mm-hmm.
that around for years
yes.
and now look at you.
And I've met so many people that I get fulfillment out of being able to be like, oh yeah, I go through that too. Oh yeah, I feel that too. Even when I was
there.
The janitor, like I used to just kind of walk around and talk about what
yeah.
I'm going through.
She looked awesome when she walked around.
I didn't even know.
With
when
the portable
I was
vacuum.
Crunch.
And she was doing lunges with the portable vacuum up and down our track.
Oh my
you know
gosh.
What I'm saying? I mean, I was like, okay,
get
this
it in.
Girl is committed.
Yes.
I got to talk to this girl for sure. But
what
I do, I have a question.
Yeah.
And not to like
open book.
Yeah, not to yeah. like bring this down, but I think a lot of people will understand and relate to this. So you get up to the top,
yeah.
you're sitting pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Tosh, you know what I'm gonna say because you're with me all the time. What in the event that you feel like you ever wanted to go back to that dark
mm-hmm.
place, which of course you've compartmentalized it, you've sealed it off.
Yeah,
you've
what do you do?
It. Where do you go if you ever feel like everything's mm-hmm. kind of coming down on you again,
mm-hmm.
where most people would probably relapse again or mm-hmm. go to that place because they become numb and they become immune to life
right.
and existence. Like,
right.
well, I can do it this one time. What do you do to get that demon
yeah.
out of that head to be like,
yeah.
you know what, Chels,
yeah.
let's roll?
So, actually, it's... lifting and going to the gym, it's definitely a huge building block in my maintenance plan.
Right.
However,
so that's what you call it, a maintenance plan.
Yeah, and recovery. Like, I live in recovery, and I genuinely feel like what that looks like for different people is different. However, if you're not working on your recovery, whatever that looks like for you, whatever kind of building blocks and support that you have, you're working on your next relapse. So for me, I stay...
To go back to that
yes,
again. Right.
I stay very, very close, knit with people that are struggling, that are new into recovery, that are just kind of figuring it out and feeling it out. I stay very close and I... I utilize the support that I have, that mm-hmm. I've gotten, and then I pass that along and I give that back to other people.
And so many people are so quick to be like, oh, that's stupid. And no. I'm not going to reach out to people. I don't
that's
need
because
that. It's just one time I'm going to go back to that.
That's because they really don't want
I
it.
I agree, yeah. because they close yep. that off. It's right. like, I can do this on my own.
Yep. No.
But in all honesty, yep. you really still need that
you really
support
need that.
System.
Yeah.
And you need that reminder in your face of, oh, I've been there and I don't want to go back.
Yeah. Right.
Like that.
Right.
I remember that.
Right.
So here, I'm gonna pass this ball to you. We're going to play a game of basketball. I'm going to help you because eventually I'm going to be in a bad place and I want you to be okay to pass mm-hmm. that ball
and
back
And I think
to
the
me,
one thing
know?
I will say, right. and of course I can't really answer this, but I can probably speak for you too. Taj, definitely I can for you because I know you so well. Chelsea, definitely you as well because I know you so well as well. One thing I think we're leaving out, and this goes out to all the moms and dads out
mm-hmm.
there. You look at your kid.
Yep.
That's the biggest thing I
Huge.
Feel. Not having kids,
well,
but being pushed to be like, it's time.
Yep.
Like,
yeah,
old,
but you know, and
roll.
I got to say this in all fairness. Not this story is not about me. This is all about Chelsea's
right.
story. But I was in a relationship with a person who was on heavy drugs. And it didn't matter. He's still a drug addict to
Maybe
this day.
Maybe not him, but I'm saying as a mom, mm-hmm. there's that bond you guys have that nobody can break. And,
yeah.
you know, I feel like maybe yourself, and maybe you can just mm-hmm. talk on this quickly.
Yep.
Don't you think that looking at that child, knowing that they need you, that's a huge, huge,
mm-hmm.
like, don't do it. Just don't do it. But does it not really have an effect when you're that
when
far
I,
into it?
When I relapsed, my child was 6 months old.
Good question.
And
question.
Yeah, no, it was a great question.
No, it was
question.
A great question
yeah.
because
and,
everybody's different.
Yes.
It's a different answer.
And
yeah.
so this is another propellant of why I'm so big into health and fitness as well as my daughter,
mm-hmm.
who is about to be six. And I want to be able, without forcing her, I want to lead by example of what
mm-hmm.
is a healthy lifestyle, what looks like. So I bring her in the gym with
right.
me.
You
I don't force.
See.
Yes.
You
and
know.
I.
Like
yes.
when you bring
yes.
little guys to the circus.
Yes.
They
I do.
Love
yep.
it. They
I
love
do.
Being
and you
there.
Show them what to be about.
Right.
I mean, what I grew up.
Yeah.
Not that my parents. My parents are fairly clean cut, but they smoked. They drank. You know, they weren't living a very healthy lifestyle. My mom was a bartender, so I grew up in a bar.
Right.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
So if my daughter grows up in a gym, I'm hoping. And she's so cute now. Like, she does. She wants to eat healthy like mom. She walks around the house and she'll be like, Mom, can I eat this? Does it make me healthy? Does it make me strong?
Yeah,
feel my muscles. Feel
exactly,
my muscles.
Yeah.
Funny is
yeah.
if you integrate that at
yep.
a young age,
yes.
like
it
Tasha
becomes
do,
a part
the
of
norm.
Who they are.
The it's
norm.
The norm.
So it's like, you know, when they say, oh,
yep.
McDonald's is a special
right.
treat now.
Right.
Oh, my.
And then a
right.
lot of kids will be like, I don't want that.
And
like,
yeah. that's how my daughter
I don't
is.
Want that.
Yeah.
So
that's
I,
how my sons are.
Do you have to take every fun thing out? No, of course not.
But you got to be
but
a good example.
I think that
yeah.
more and more people, Chelsea, like you said,
mm-hmm.
and again, you were really on point with this, especially with what we do.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with the parent. It starts with the people that you respect and you're around all the time,
yep.
your mentors. If you see them drinking all the time, you're going to follow suit and
yep.
probably drink a little
you
bit.
You are what you surround
yeah, you
yourself
are.
With.
And you know,
the
that, is,
really
that
are.
Is completely true. And, you know, I just want all our listeners to understand, it's like, you know, if you have a spouse or a partner, man or woman, and they're not kind of following that lifestyle, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean you don't have to.
Right.
You know, and they make jokes about it, and they make,
yep.
make stab at you
so
and make
what?
Digs at you.
Oh, you don't
but
drink?
The reason
you don't
why,
know what? I
the
don't.
Reason why is because they're not disciplined
yep.
enough,
yep.
and they don't have the
yep.
commitment enough to
yep.
do it.
It's just,
and you know what?
Yeah.
And it's just them being biased because they're like, well, I don't know why I have to go so serious all the time. And it's like, because this is what I want.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm
so,
serious
so
about my life.
You got one life.
Or yep. shut your mouth. Just
exactly.
either support it
and
or shut
me.
Up.
That's me. I agree.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you're getting those growing pains that I'm talking about, like, there's a simple saying that I still continue to use. When it's healthy for your life, the people that mind don't matter, and the people that matter
don't mind.
Mm. So if they want to jump on your bandwagon and ride the train that you're about to lead into this healthy lifestyle, they will. And the ones that matter will stay around, and they will join that travel with you. And if they don't, then they don't.
Yeah.
And it will filter out how it is. But once you make that lifestyle commitment, you are on the right path.
Yeah.
You will reap the rewards and the blessings later down the line, but it is growing pains with any kind of change like that. There's growing pains, but you stay firm with what it is that your values,
mm-hmm.
your boundaries, what your wants and desires are for you. And the people that want it will help propel you. The people that don't, they won't.
They'll just fall off.
Yep. And, you know, sometimes it's a little bit harder than others because it might be a little bit closer, significant others, family members. But at the same time,
gotta find
they'll
your
respect
right people.
You.
Yeah, you got to find your good people.
Yep. You got one goal.
You
got to
find your people.
You got one goal around.
Yeah.
Dude,
you don't have to live for other people.
I'm saying you got to live that mama mentality.
You got one goal around. Yep. Exactly. And shout out, you know, rest in peace, our great Kobe. I mean, I watched that tribute. I was
It's affected everybody in so many different ways.
I love that boy. I mean, I grew up with him, and but that's a whole other subject. But we have one life, and you got a second chance.
You did. And
you're
you took advantage of it.
Yeah.
You're such an amazing person.
Taking advantage of it and really making yourself something out of it.
Yeah.
And I personally commend you. I've known you a long time, and I'm glad you're here with us. And when they told us that we were bringing you on, I was really elated because it's like, you deserve to tell this story. And you have come so far, and I cannot tell you how much respect, not only myself, but the whole group that we are surrounded with at the gym do love and support you.
Yeah,
and we cannot tell you enough.
You're an inspiration, honey.
Seriously.
So, I'm so thankful that you came today, that you opened up, that you're right now somebody's listening and you're actually helping them.
Yeah.
So in their head, probably right now they're listening.
Yep.
They're probably saying, where did Chelsea go? How can I get in contact with Chelsea so I can get into that type of lifestyle and start walking the right way? So what is your social media so everybody can follow you?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on Instagram or on Facebook. It's super simple. It's Chelsea Secord, ChelseaSecord. I am an open book. I am here to help. That's honestly how I get fulfillment, and I
how
find
you heal.
Yeah, I find payment in helping people. So
whether
it be in the gym, you know, I'm down in the Springs. I work at I'm the GM down at Crunch North Colorado Springs, but I am all over the place. I live in Aurora, so you know, I'm here to help. Like that is, it brings meaning to what happened. It brings meaning to the unfortunate series of events that happened the past several years. It makes it all worthwhile that I get to help people going through anything that's similar and get them on the other side.
There is
hope. There is light.
If you can do it, they can do it.
Absolutely.
Stay focused.
Absolutely.
Chelsea, you have to write a book. We spoke about this. You got to make sure you write a book, but we love you and we thank you for stopping by today.
That's all I'm saying.
We love you. You are a superwoman in our eyes.
Absolutely. I love you guys. Thank you for your support.
Sure.
I wouldn't be here without all the support that
you wouldn't be here if you didn't take the right steps to be where you are.
Yep. Just
don't
make
ever forget
that decision.
That. We love you.
Thanks. I love you guys too.
We'll see you at Super Circuit Saturday, March 7th.
Did you forget how to say it?
Super Circuit Saturday. I didn't want to.
Super Circuit Saturday.
Super there
Saturday.
You go.
Super Circuit Saturday.
Saturday.
We're going to have
March 7th.
Junkyard training.
Yes.
That was for you.
Cryotherapy, cupping,
B12
shots, Revive.
Everything. We got it all. We're going to have sandwiches.
Oh.
I'm going to get crumble out there for some cookies.
I'm going to be at the table
because
eating.
Because it just goes to show you, if you do the circuit, then
you get
give
fed.
Yourself a
cookie. And it's free.
Get yourself a shot of energy. And give yourself a cookie.
Dude, check-in time is at 9:45. Make sure you meet us at Crunch Fitness Chambers in Mississippi, March 7th. We love you. Anything you want to say, Dave?
Maybe, just maybe.
What?
I will get on the mic.
One day.
Follow Big Dave's Power Half Hour on social media. At Big Dave's Power Half Hour. Join us next week for another episode dedicated to getting you healthier mentally, physically, and emotionally. It's Big Dave's Power Half Hour, hosted by Tasha Makia.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.